Chapter 27. And, besides, we had not much time, she added.
No, you would not have, of course. My suspicion and even dread of the feminist and his hysteria was so ineradicable that I could not help asking with real anxiety, which I made smiling, but you escaped all right?
She understood me, and smiled too, at my uneasiness.
Oh yes. I escaped, if you like to call it that. I walked away quickly. There was no need to run. I am neither frightened nor yet fascinated, like that poor woman who received me so strangely. And Mr. Razumov. He remained there, of course. I suppose he went into the house after I left him. You remember that he came here strongly recommended to Peter Ivanovich, possibly entrusted with important messages for him.
Ah, yes. From that priest who?
Father Zosim, yes. Or from others, perhaps.
You left him, then.
But have you seen him since, may I ask?
For some time Miss Alden made no answer to this very direct question.
Then, I have been expecting to see him here today, she said quietly.
You have.
Do you meet, then, in this garden?
In that case I had better leave you at once.
No, why leave me?
And we don't meet in this garden.
I have not seen Mr. Razumov since that first time.
Not once.
But I have been expecting him.
She paused. I wondered to myself why that young revolutionist should show so little alacrity.
Before we parted I told Mr. Razumov that I walked here for an hour every day at this time. I could not explain to him then why I did not ask him to come and see us at once.
Mother must be prepared for such a visit.
And then, you see, I do not know myself what Mr. Razumov has to tell us.
He, too, must be told first how it is with poor mother.
All these thoughts flashed through my mind at once. So I told him hurriedly that there was a reason why I could not ask him to see us at home, but that I was in the habit of walking here.
This is a public place, but there are never many people about at this hour.
I thought it would do very well. And it is so near our apartments.
I don't like to be very far away from mother.
Our servant knows where I am in case I should be wanted suddenly.
Yes. It is very convenient from that point of view, I agreed.
In fact, I thought the bastion's a very convenient place, since the girl did not think it prudent as yet to introduce that young man to her mother.
It was here, then, I thought, looking round at that plot of ground of deplorable banality, that their acquaintance will begin and go on in the exchange of generous indignations, and of extreme sentiments, too poignant, perhaps, for a non-Russian mind to conceive.
I saw these two, escaped out of 80 million of human beings ground between the upper and nether millstone, walking under these trees, their young heads close together.
Yes, an excellent place to stroll and talk in.
It even occurred to me, while we turned once more away from the wide iron gates, that when tired they would have plenty of accommodation to rest themselves. There was a quantity of tables and chairs displayed between the restaurant chalet and the bandstand, a whole raft of painted deals spread out under the trees.
In the very middle of it, I observed a solitary Swiss couple, whose fate was made secure from the cradle to the grave by the perfected mechanism of democratic institutions, in a republic that could almost be held in the palm of one's hand. The man, colorlessly uncouth, was drinking beer out of a glittering glass. The woman, rustic and placid, leaning back in the rough chair, gazed idly around.
There is little logic to be expected on this earth, not only in the matter of thought, but also of sentiment.
I was surprised to discover myself displeased with that unknown young man.
A week had gone by since they met.
Was he callous, or shy, or very stupid?
I could not make it out.
Do you think, I asked Miss Alden, after we had gone some distance up the great alley, that Mr. Razumov understood your intention?
Understood what I meant, she wondered.
He was greatly moved.
That I know.
In my own agitation I could see it.
But I spoke distinctly.
He heard me, he seemed, indeed,
to hang on my words. Dot, unconsciously as he had hastened her pace. Her utterance, too, became quicker. I waited a little before I observed thoughtfully, and yet he allowed all these days to pass. How can we tell what work he may have to do here? He is not an idler traveling for his pleasure. His time may not be his own, nor yet his thoughts, perhaps. She slowed her pace suddenly, and in a lowered voice added, or his very life then paused and stood still for all I know, he may have had to leave Geneva the very day he saw me. Without telling you, I exclaimed incredulously. I did not give him time. I left him quite abruptly. I behaved emotionally to the end. I am sorry for it. Even if I had given him the opportunity, he would have been justified in taking me for a person not to be trusted. An emotional, tearful girl is not a person to confide in. But even if he has left Geneva for a time, I am confident that we shall meet again. Ah, you are confident. I dare say. But on what ground? Because I've told him that I was in great need of someone, a fellow countryman, a fellow believer, to whom I could give my confidence in a certain matter. I see. I don't ask you what answer he made. I confess that this is good ground for your belief in Mr. Razumov's appearance before long. But he has not turned up today? No, she said quietly, not today. And we stood for a time in silence, like people that have nothing more to say to each other, and let their thoughts run widely asunder before their bodies go off their different ways. Miss Alden glanced at the watch on her wrist, and made a brusque movement. As he had already overstayed her time, it seemed. I don't like to be away from Mother, she murmured, shaking her head. T is not that she is very ill now. But somehow when I am not with her, I am more uneasy than ever. Mrs. Alden had not made the slightest allusion to her son for the last week or more. She sat, as usual, in the armchair by the window, looking out silently on that hopeless stretch of the Boulevard des Philosophes. When she spoke a few lifeless words, it was of indifferent, trivial things. For anyone who knows what the poor soul is thinking of, that sort of talk is more painful than her silence. But that is bad too. I can hardly endure it, and I dare not break it. Miss Alden sighed, refastening a button of her glove which had come undone. I knew well enough what a hard time of it she must be having. The stress, its causes, its nature, would have undermined the health of an Occidental girl. But Russian natures have a singular power of resistance against the unfair strains of life. Straight and supple, with a short jacket open on her black dress, which made her figure appear more slender, and her fresh but colorless face more pale, she compelled my wonder and admiration. I can't stay a moment longer. You ought to come soon to see Mother. You know she calls you apostrophe Lami. Apostrophe it is an excellent name, and she really means it. And now au revoir, I must run. She glanced vaguely down the broad walk. The hand she put out to me eluded my grasp by an unexpected upward movement, and rested upon my shoulder. Her red lips were slightly parted, not in a smile, however, but expressing a sort of startled pleasure. She gazed towards the gates and said quickly, with a gasp, "There. I knew it. Here he comes." I understood that she must mean Mr. Razumov. A young man was walking up the alley, without haste. His clothes were some dull shade of brown, and he carried a stick. When my eyes first fell on him, his head was hanging on his breast, as if in deep thought. While I was looking at him, he raised it sharply, and at once stopped. I am certain he did, but that pause was nothing more perceptible than a faltering check in his gait, instantaneously overcome. Then he continued his approach, looking at us steadily. Miss Alden signed to me to remain, and advanced a step or two to meet him. I turned my head away from that meeting, and did not look at them again till I heard Miss Alden's voice uttering his name in the way of introduction. Mr. Razumov was informed, in a warm, low tone, that, besides being a wonderful teacher, I was a great support in our sorrow and distress. Of course I was described also as an Englishman.
Miss Alden spoke rapidly, faster than I have ever heard her speak, and that by contrast, made the quietness of her eyes more expressive. I have given him my confidence, she added, looking all the time at Mr. Razumov. That young man did, indeed, rest his gaze on Miss Alden, but certainly did not look into her eyes which were so ready for him. Afterwards he glanced backwards and forwards at us both, while the faint commencement of a forced smile, followed by the suspicion of a frown, vanished one after another. I detected them, though neither could have been noticed by a person less intensely bent upon divining them than myself. I don't know what Nathalie Alden had observed, but my attention seized the very shades of these movements. The attempted smile was given up, the incipient frown was checked, and smoothed so that there should be no sign. But I imagined him exclaiming inwardly, her confidence. To this elderly person, this foreigner. I imagined this, because he looked foreign enough to me. I was upon the whole favorably impressed. He had an air of intelligence, and even some distinction quite above the average of the students, and other inhabitants of the Petite Russie. His features were more decided than in the generality of Russian faces. He had a line of the jaw, a clean-shaven, sallow cheek. His nose was a ridge, and not a mere protuberance. He wore the hat well down over his eyes, his dark hair curled low on the nape of his neck. In the ill-fitting brown clothes there were sturdy limbs. A slight stoop brought out a satisfactory breadth of shoulders. Upon the whole I was not disappointed. Studious, robust, shy. Before Miss Alden had ceased speaking I felt the grip of his hand on mine, a muscular, firm grip, but unexpectedly hot and dry. Not a word, or even a mutter assisted this short and arid handshake. I intended to leave them to themselves, but Miss Alden touched me lightly on the forearm with a significant contact, conveying a distinct wish. Let him smile who likes, but I was only too ready to stay near Nathalie Alden, and I am not ashamed to say that it was no smiling matter to me. I stayed, not as a youth would have stayed. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.